That time is the thing that I'm struggling to find, but I don't do it well. And fortunately, my family life, they're the ones that miss out on just me being around, just because it's like, hey, I've got to get this podcast edited. I've got to get these videos done. I've got to go do this tasting event. So it's a lot of juggling. People at my day job have started to find out like what I do on the side. And it's always weird when like somebody starts to follow me on social media that I'm like, I think I work with that person. I don't know if I like these worlds coming together, but this is a passion, but it legitimately takes up all of my time.
That was Doug Price, who just days after the coronavirus was first discovered in the U.S. said, hey, you know what we should do? We should start a podcast called the Agave Social Club, which very quickly upon release became the very top audio content dedicated to tequila brands and their stories. Doug also talks tequila on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Now, he does have a real job in the healthcare industry, in fact, but his passion is tequila, and his audience, they love him for it. How did he become a leading tequila content creator? And why? And how has his life changed since he started talking tequila? We will find out on this episode of The Spirit Guides, the show about entrepreneurial journeys of the world's top booze influencers. I'm your host, Tequila J. Bear. Fans of this show are known as The Sippers, and all of you sippers know that every show can be found at thespiritguides.info. And the videos are always at thespiritguides.video. The show is sponsored by Love Scotch, the premier online shop for scotches, bourbons, tequila, and a lot more. With an extensive collection from curated like all around the globe, Love Scotch brings you the world's finest distilleries right to your front door. So whether you're a seasoned enthusiast like Doug or just starting your journey into the world of spirits and spirit guides, Love Scotch has something for everybody. And check this out. Shipping from Love Scotch is just $19.95, regardless of how many bottles you purchase, except for Hawaii and Alaska and overseas, obviously. So sippers, visit lovescotch.com. That is lovescotch.com. And now, here's the spirit guide, Doug Price. Doug, my friend, welcome to the show.
Hey, man. So glad to be here. Congrats on launching this.
Oh, thanks. I really appreciate it. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you first discovered a passion for tequila and agave spirits, probably long before you created content.
Yeah. So, you know, tequila was always my drink of choice. It was something that I gravitated towards. You know, we all have our story, our journey where, you know, back in the day, we sometimes thought value dictated the quality, but I always loved tequila. And way before starting anything social media, I worked in Nashville in the music industry, and I started creating bars on tour buses. I actually started in Miami with a margarita night, and you know, we had 2-3 tour buses, but everybody was on one bus. Buses usually don't leave till 2 a.m. or depending on, you know, where we're going, the driver is sleeping in a hotel. And I, you know, I had 40 people and on a bus just loving it. And I thought, man, this is something, you know, alcohol when done responsibly, it creates community. And you know, I saw that and I thought, man, maybe there's something here. So I started bartending and just thought, man, there's something here. So move away, go to Orlando, start a family, all that fun stuff. And, you know, I had always wanted to do a tequila tasting. I thought, man, could I get 10 guys in a room and try some things? Really, I honestly just wanted to not have to buy all the bottles. And so I wanted people to go in on it with me. And so I started asking around and I had 18 guys show up. And I thought, okay, there's something here. And so my thought was, I'm going to do tastings. I come from a live events background. I enjoy being in front of people and educating. And I thought, man, I'm going to do tastings. And then months later, COVID hits and, you know, no one's getting together. So I kind of pivoted and there was a podcast about tequila, for, you know, 5 years ago or so. And it wasn't bad. I just felt that maybe I could bring something different to it. So you know, I started the show, didn't fully know what I was doing. You know, this coming up, I'll hit my 100th episode and it's taken off.
Amazing. Congratulations. Yeah. That's great.
Well, thank you. And so it's been a lot of fun, but, you know, just continued to educate myself and ultimately to build relationships with brands and people in the industry and just say, hey, how can I help you guys? How can I help share your story?
How has your journey as a spirit guide sort of evolved since you first started making content, since you published that first episode?
Yeah. You know, I've gotten an education. You know, after talking to 80, 90 people in the industry and really, you know, I do a lot of research like yourself. You know, you're doing a show, you do research. Every episode, I've got a 4-to-6-page outline that I write out for it. So I've learned a lot from people on the show. And ultimately, you know, I try to read as much as I can about it. I mean, for us to create content, we have to know what we're talking about. You and I, you know, the worst thing we can do is do a video and someone go, hey, that's not right. That information isn't right. So it makes us have to continue to educate ourselves. And I've got some people in the industry that when I'm doing certain videos, I go to them and go, hey, this is what I'm working on. Is this accurate? I believe this is accurate. Can you confirm this? So, you know, and just pushing yourself. I do a video a day. I started that. It would be 2 years, I think, in December, where I started going, hey, you know, the podcast is one thing, but social media is a completely different thing. As you know, you do so much on social media. And maybe 2 years ago, I thought, man, can I be consistent in this? If we do a video a month, it's not really going to, you know, get traction. So I thought, man, I got to do something every, and I didn't think I could do it. I mean, I was like, is there enough stuff for me to launch something every day? So I've done it. I mean, it's a lot of work, as you know. But even things like that, I mean, I have a content calendar here. I have to storyboard every video, you know, hey, this month, these are the stories that I'm looking to tell and then start doing the research for it. So, you know, just trying to educate myself.
Well, it's interesting that, as I mentioned at the top of the show, you still have a job. And in order to do that and create a video every day, and create, you know, an award-winning, very popular podcast with 100 episodes, and you got a family, and I don't know how you do it, right? I mean, it's hard for me to create a video every day, and I have a job as well, but not one I have to report to all the time. How do you balance it?
Not well. I mean, I honestly, not well. It takes up all of my free time. It really does. Nights, weekends, early morning. You know, a video a day and even a 90-second video, you go, oh, 90 seconds. The time it takes to write it, to record it, to edit it, it's more than, you know, 90 seconds. And I've got to have a video every day. I go to Mexico tomorrow. And so last night I was making sure all my videos for next week are ready and they're going to launch out because rain or shine, I've got to launch a video. So, it's not sustainable with how I'm doing it now. I've, you know, you and I have talked off camera on things. You know, I'm continuing to try to outsource things. I do have some editors that I'm starting to utilize and to get them to maybe take some of the load. You know, I need time. That time is the thing that I'm struggling to find. But I don't do it well. And unfortunately, my family life, they sometimes, you know, they're the ones that miss out on just me being around just because it's like, hey, I gotta get this podcast edited. I've got to get these videos done. I've got to go do this tasting event. So it's a lot of juggling. It's, you know, people at my day job have started to find out like what I do on the side. And it's always weird when like somebody starts to follow me on social media that I'm like, I think I work with that person. I don't know if I like these worlds coming together, but it, you know, this is a passion, but it legitimately takes up all of my time. I'm always thinking about it. Just like I'm always thinking about, well, what's the next video? What's this? What, you know, I mean, lining up the schedule for the podcast. I mean, it's very time consuming. Yeah.
I guess the trade-off with your family, and thanks for being candid about that, is colored a little bit by the fact that this isn't just a passion project now. This is a business for you. And I suspect that's changed your attitude about content creation and also sort of the calculus of the time you spend on it vis-a-vis time with family. Talk about that a little bit, because I know it's a sort of a pivot point for everybody who becomes a spirit guide.
Yeah, I mean, look, at some point when it takes up so much of your time, and it's not just your time, it's, you know, I'm doing more video projects, and I mean, that's why I'm going to Mexico. I've got a brand that I'm working with to help share their story. And so there's costs there. There's costs for camera gear, for lighting, for equipment, all that stuff. And so, you know, at some point it does pivot. And I remember, you know, 2 years ago, my wife going, how long are you doing this to where, because for 4 years, I mean, 4 years, I never charged anybody anything. I have a sponsor of the podcast and that was it. I would go do tasting events, but that was just me working another job. And so now as I'm doing more projects, you start to go, okay, how I look at this, how, and my family understands that. I mean, my son will, I mean, he's eight, so he's seen, I mean, for half of his life, he's seen me be all over social media, which is a little weird. And he, you know, I don't know if he has the best lens for it as he sees, you know, I mean, he's got a YouTube channel. And just the other day, he's like, how many subscribers do I have? And I was like, buddy, it's, are you having fun? That's what this is about. But for me, I you know, it's like, hey, I have to do this or I have to prep for this because this is turning into a job. And, you know, could it be my full-time job? It actually could. The more that I'm lining up, the more tasting events that I'm doing, the more brands that I'm working with for, you know, photography or video, it could be, but it's also a business. And you and I both know when you're growing a business, you invest in that business. And so when I need a new camera lens or a new piece of lighting gear, I can go, hey, well, because I'm doing these gigs, I've got that money there, opposed to, well, that money's for my income and to pay electrical and groceries and things like that. So I'm not real quick. I'm going to try to balance it as long as I can, because, you know, day job, I do have a little bit of flexibility there. My CEO, I've done probably five tastings for her and she and her
good friends. Move.
And so
that's the lesson here, Sippers. Do tastings for your boss. That's how you get time to become a spirit guide. There you go.
Yeah.
I think sometimes fans of the content can be kind of demanding and they just don't realize like how much time is spent to produce free content. It can be a tricky proposition. Speaking of which, what's been one of your most successful pieces of content and did you expect it to be a success? I always find, especially in this day of algorithm, that sometimes something works. You're like, I don't know how that worked, but I'm glad it did.
Yeah, I think, because there'll be videos that I go, man, this is a good video. I think this is a good video, and it doesn't do what I thought it would do. There's no rhyme or reason, and to try to figure it out, I do think that people would rather hear what you shouldn't drink than what you should drink. And I say that because if I go do a Clase Azul or Don Julio or Casamigos, those usually hit a lot bigger than me talking about G4. And it's because people want to know, like, they almost want me to be negative. And I try not. I mean, there's enough people in this world that are negative. I try not to be negative. I try not to be a hater. There are a few brands that I'll do some videos and share my opinion that I believe are, you know, maybe not great quality, but you know, for the most part, they have businesses. I mean, there's real people working behind these brands. And with the influence I have, I don't want to be someone that's, you know, potentially taking money out of someone else's pocket. I mean, I go to Mexico and I start to not tell when I'm going because you just, you know, you want to be safe and you want to be smart. But yeah, I mean, it definitely is something that... when, you know, I've done some of those videos, Fortaleza, you know, when I talk about Fortaleza, that usually does pretty well. And so, yeah, but Clase Azul, that those have been, you know, I've had a few of those at, you know, 1 million, 2 million views, and you go, and it's people that, you know, are negative. They want to comment, how about how I'm wrong? Or gringo, what do you know about tequila? You and I we've gotten that in the past. And, you know, even the haters, you got to engage with the haters and be thankful for them because they are willing to engage. But, you know, I try to be as polite as I can and not give them too much power. But yeah, some of those videos, there's other ones that I'm trying to do more storytelling and those haven't hit as much. Cocktail videos, those do pretty well. But people, you know, if you can educate people, people want to be educated.
Hey Sippers, hope you're loving this episode of The Spirit Guides. If you are, would you please follow the show on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, or subscribe to the show on YouTube. And the most important thing you can do for the show and for me is to leave a review. It makes a big difference. Thanks so much. Back to the show. It's obviously a journey to be a spirit guide, and every month, every quarter, every year is different because as your platform grows and opportunities come your way, you try to get better at it and learn lessons. That's kind of the whole point of this show, the spirit guides. Tell me about a challenging moment or an obstacle you faced on this journey and what you've done about it.
You know, the time issue. I mean, everything just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And that then pushes me to want to do better quality, to do better, you know. And so, for me, I kind of, you know, I'm trying to teach my son, hey, in life, there will be people that devalue you. Don't be one of them. And I sometimes have to tell myself that I'll be like, man, I'm not kidding. You know, I mean, even doing these video projects, I have to remind myself, hey, you are capable of doing this. You are good enough to do this, but it's continuing to grow. And 4 or 5 years ago, if you looked at my first videos, my first podcast, I would have my iPhone here, my wife's iPhone here to try. I mean, you couldn't even hear because we were on headphones. It was so janky. So just continuing to get better with it. I've had to overcome my own, hey, get out of the way and understand that you can do this. And then, you know, this is alcohol. And so I've had to wrestle and figure out, you know, I've got a little boy at home that's seen dad. I mean, I've got this area and I've got an actual studio bedroom that, you know, I've got 300 bottles in. And I need to make sure he doesn't, you know, we're not glamorizing this to like just be drinking alcohol and tequila. And so that's something that's continually at the fore, you know, in my mind to go, hey, am I doing this and presenting it in a way that respects alcohol and things like that? And not that it's drinking is not a challenge for me, but you always need to be mindful of it. And, you know, people are always reaching out going, hey, can you come to this event? Can I send you this? And I'm going, I don't need more reasons to have to drink. I don't need, you know, because I do so much with it. So balancing that is just something that, you know, people will go, hey, do you drink every day? No, I batch my videos. I try to shoot everything on the weekend and batch them all. And some things I have to sip in and things like that. But, you know, you just start to learn how to do things like that. But, you know, there's always challenges. Going to Mexico and trying to navigate Mexico is a challenge.
Yeah, it can be a little confusing, no doubt about that. I'm sure there's been a lot of really rewarding elements of this journey for you as well. What stands out to you as something that you're like, man, I'm really glad that this has happened to me or does happen to me, and that wouldn't have happened to me if I wasn't a spirit guide?
Yeah, I mean, the people, getting to go and be with the people, I think the first time, Lucas Assis, another great content creator, he's one of my best friends. I think the first time we met in person was in Mexico. And I remember we were at Casa Saya's hotel. Fortaleza is next door, still cooking, producing, you know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning and we're on the roof talking life. And you just stop and you go, man, this is what it's about. People, you know, I've said it before, tequila is great, but people are better. And these moments where things like that, or when I'm at, you know, at the Vivanco distillery, at that table that we've seen in so many photos, and you're sitting there with Sergio and different people, or the relationships I've built with brand owners. And I mean, I've gone to brand owners' like daughter's birthday parties in Mexico. I've stayed at multiple brand owners' homes and know their kids and wives. And to me, that's been like, okay, this is life, and getting to build relationships with these people, that's authentic. And I think that for 4 years, like I said, when I just go to brands and say, how can I serve you? How can I help share your story? They go, hey, Doug's for us. And so it's easy to build those relationships.
That's fantastic. This is one of my favorite questions on the show. How do you explain your job to your parents?
My mom follows me on Instagram and like likes and comments. I felt that there was a time a couple years ago that I needed to just be like, hey, you know, I don't just drink all the time. Like I want you to understand that. And then they got it. At first, they didn't know. They were like, so are you selling tequila? Do you work for a tequila brand? Are you? And I said, no, I create content. And so they've seen it. I mean, they've been here. They've been around when I've done tastings. So they now get a sense and they see, you know, hey, this has continued to grow and there's an actual real job here and he's actually doing good stuff. But yeah, friends is also another one. Like back, you know, people that I'm like, yeah, I'm in my 40s and I'm obsessed with social media. I never thought I would be there, but
you're competing against dance crazes for views on TikTok. Do you get this question a lot? When are you going to start a tequila brand? Because I get that question a lot, and I'm sure you get
all the time.
Yeah, and I'm like, never. I don't want to lose all my money.
Yeah, no, I like the approach of like you just create. You know, you have a relationship with a producer, and you want to create something that's just for like you and friends. But the idea of trying to go compete on the shelves with these tequila, I mean, I have people all the time reach out and go, hey, they're trying to start a tequila brand. Can I help them? And I'm like, don't. I've had, you know, tequila producers say, I would never start now. Like I would never do it now. So, you know, never say never, but I don't have any plans to start the Agave Social Club tequila coming out of 1438 with 200 other brands.
How do you see, you're sort of right in the middle of it. As you said, you work with a lot of brands, not only on your podcast, the Agave Social Club, but also now as a very talented videographer who will come and document narratives and stories for distilleries in Mexico. How do you see the spirits industry and the role of content creators and influencers evolving in the future? It seems like it's really, really picking up speed now.
Yeah, I think for, you know, hundreds of years, brands, companies have chose how to market and how to spend marketing dollars and their budgets. And they may have a billboard or they may have, you know, they may go to where the people are. And I think influencers, they've started to see, okay, they have reach and they have a target audience that is the audience that we're trying to speak to. And so, you know, I've heard some brands that are starting to not totally let go, but diminish their sales team a little bit so that they could focus more on influencer marketing. And so I think it's here. I part of me thinks it's not here to stay for long, but I think it actually could be. And I think it's all about value. If people can add and show value. You know, for me to just go, hey, I've got X amount of followers, I can say something and they'll go do it. Like there's gotta be a call to action. Like they've got to see, okay, this works. But it's an interesting thing. I mean, you know, who were to think 10, 20 years ago that you could have a job being an influencer? And now what do they say? Like everybody you ask people growing up, the like number one thing people want, they say they want to be is an influencer. I mean, look, I think it's about value. I think everyone's trying to be an influencer now. I mean, there's so many people that are starting these tequila pages. I mean, I've had people reach out to me, hey, I'm starting, and I'll give advice because you and I both know most people don't stick with it. I mean, I think one of the reasons why no one else recently has started a tequila podcast is because they've started to see, man, Doug's crazy. I'm either crazy or stupid. Like the amount of time that I put into it. When you do have life and you've got other things that I think most people just go, okay, I can't. I mean, I have people go, hey, I want to grow my channel. And I go, you got to be consistent. Are you willing to be consistent and put out not just throw and see what sticks on the wall. You've got to be mindful and think through what is the content that, you know, really adds value. And I think that's if, you know, you're always educating and that's where if we can add value and it's not about us, I kind of think of myself as like the accidental influencer. Like I started with a podcast. I wasn't trying to, it just so happened that the social media thing started growing and more brands are reaching out to me because of social media. I'm like, but you know, I've got this show that's like really like respected, but they're like, yeah, but can you do a 90 second video? And I'm like, oh, okay. So, you know, long answer there, but I think brands are rethinking I think, you know, Cascanes has, they saw early on that there's a whole group of people, bartenders, content creators. Hey, if we can get them on our team, if we can build relationships with them, and I've had other brands go, hey, we want to do something similar to that. We want to grow, you know, and so I think brands take notice, but I don't know where it goes in the future. Our value, if we stop adding value, then what, like, we become obsolete. So I think we've got to have authentic value to offer to people.
Yeah, I think it's harder for brands to build those relationships than they think as well. It takes time, it takes money, it takes effort, it takes caring and feeding for sure. Doug, tell me about an underrated bottle that you wish more people talked about.
I think Pure Sangre is pretty underrated. That's starting to grow more here in the U.S. I'm trying to look at my back bar to see. Have you heard of Fortaleza? I think they're going to do really well.
They have a future. They have a future.
I think they're going to do really, really well. I mean, they're, you know, Tapatio. I think Tapatio is one of the best brands out there. And most people, I mean, they see the bottle and they go, what is this? It's a tough game, you know, to get brands to get their bottles in front of people. I mean, what we see Grover, they came out a couple months ago saying that last year, I think it was like 316 new brands last year, and 200 and some is like 500 new brands hit the market in the past 2 years. Some of them were really, really good. Some of them are not really, really good. But to cut through the noise to, you know, brands all the time, they reach out to us. Hey, we want to send you our bottle. I mean, I had one time in 1 week, two brands reach out to me saying, I will give you ownership of my brand if you can help me grow the brand. I was like, this is the first time we're talking. You don't even know me. What is happening here? And so, you know, to get them to be able to cut through and, you know, marketing dollars to get out there. But Pure Sangre is one that I think, you know, people should know about. There's a lot of great brands out there. A lot. Terra Alta. A lot of people, I think Terra Alta, it kind of gets slept on a little bit as well. How about you? What do you think?
Yeah, those are amazing answers. And that's just it. I mean, you get, you know, literally thousands of tequila brands. And you know, most of them at least have some merit. It's just a really, really difficult assignment to break through. Last question for you. What is one of your favorite bottles? And if you could pick anyone in the world to share it with, who would it be?
I don't see my brother a lot. It would be cool to sit with my brother and share a good quality tequila. But, you know, in the tequila world, man, I've met all my heroes. So yeah, I'll go with my brother just because I don't get to see him too much.
That's a great answer. Doug, thank you so much for being here. Congratulations on all the success. I know you're on an absolute rocket ship and can't wait to see what comes next.
Hey, Jay, thank you so much, buddy.
You bet.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Sippers, that was Doug Price, host of the Agave Social Club podcast. You can find him on Instagram. You can find him on TikTok. You can find him on YouTube, too. You can find his son on YouTube, evidently. Go to thespiritguides.info or thespiritguides.video for links and show notes. Big thanks to our friends at lovescotch.com for their support. Check out their extraordinary curated collection. They'll send it right to your front door, people. Show is produced and edited by Content10X.com, who we love and recommend for all digital content. I am Tequila J. Bear, and you can make mine a double. Sippers, see you next time on The Spirit Guides.